Here's what you missed on Kennedy Malloy. Don't miss out on some great low and slow barbecue tips and recipes. Hit up the low and slow zone at barbecuesgalore.com.au. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yes. Hey, it's Dangerous Dave here on my own because Jane and Mick and Santo are on a plane from Alice Springs. So what we've got for you this afternoon is a real treat. We like to call this the Kennedy Malloy Red Dust Wrap-Up. 3-hour trek this morning from Yuendamu on the Red Dust track to Alice Springs. But earlier this morning, we caught up with some absolute ripping guests, which you're going to hear this afternoon, including our favourite doctor, Dr. Chris Brown, going to talk about those camp dogs. Limo's going to join us as well in the second hour. The CEO of Red Dust, a guy by the name of Scott Sterling, who does an amazing job, and a whole lot more coming up for you this afternoon, which has been an incredible few days for Jane, Mick and Santo as well, experiencing life in a community which is, as I mentioned, like 3.5 hours northwest of Alice Springs, which is Yuendamu. Now, what you can do, you can see a heap of the pictures that we've taken on all the socials, on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter, at Kennedy Malloy. We're going to start things off with Santo Chilaro and Bush Tucker, because that's an important part of these communities.
I saw a cooking show, Jane, you'd be interested in the cooking show, and it just showed people how to, you know, cook out here.
Yeah.
And I remember the first episode I saw was how to cook kangaroos, malu, how to kick, and step one, here, these are the bullets you need. Now, imagine that in a cookbook.
He's what we prepared earlier.
So, yeah, this is what you'll need. You'll need bullet, garlic, lemon. Yeah.
Step it up, Matt Preston.
Just arriving in the town yesterday and talking to a lot of the women, and I had had a bit of a treat in the car on the way up, which is the salty. Well, actually, I won't almost say it yet. She said, are you been eating salty plums? I said, how can you tell? It actually, a salty plum is a dried prune, actually, and it has sort of a licorice salty covering.
Well, but it's poorly named then.
It is. You really get orange mouth, lip. And
we didn't want to say anything.
Yeah, thanks for that. That's a real good stir.
Cheezels do it for me. But
it is like cheezel fingers, right? So she nabbed me straight away, and I got to her. I said, look, I'm really love to learn a bit more about bush tongue. And she said, you want to come out on a hunt with me? I said, absolutely.
Wow.
I didn't say exactly what I said to her, and I said yes. But I said, I'd love to. I said, she said, I'm going to go and get some goanna. And I said, what does the goanna taste like?
Oh,
what
no.
do you reckon she said?
Oh, no.
So it's like say chicken.
Yeah. And I said, and how do you cook it? And I was honestly going, do you just like put it on a stick and put it on the fire? And she goes, you got it in one, sister.
You missed it. Last night they actually came out with a goanna. You guys were down at the footy oval. But I've actually been hunting with women. With women. For goanna, it is so hilarious because as you're driving, everything goes really quiet. There's this, you feel like, what's going on here? Is everyone just got nothing to say anymore? There's slightly intense kind of silence because I think they're looking, and all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose because someone in the front seat will go, there, right. And then you slam the brakes on. Everybody runs out. So these women, crazed women, run out with sticks and start beating this goanna over the head. It all comes to life. It's so wonderful.
All right, more coming up with our Red Dust wrap-up from Yuendamu. It is Kennedy Malloy. It is their Red Dust wrap-up as we speak. They're on their plane back to the studios, back in studio tomorrow. It's been a big day for the guys today, but we've just been basking in the glory. What's been a magnificent broadcast. I've loved it and learned so much as well in the last few days, thanks to the crew at Red Dust. But it's been, you know, fun having Santo on board as well.
We've got Giacomo Chilaro with us. How are you today?
I did a bit of tracking before.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, found a bit of bush tucker.
You guys seriously think you're just really at one?
I could live off the land. If you put me in the loincloth and push me out, I could live off berries
Mick,
for a month.
What did you pull out at the campsite last night?
And also,
how dare
say,
you? That was secret men's business.
I was going to say, if twisties grew on trees, then you would be happy.
I thought the arnott's butternut snaps.
Okay, now listen. And that was off the record.
Okay.
So I tried to blame it on Jane.
Mick went and got from the supermarket
we're having some
granny biscuits, some shortbread.
No, hold on. I tell you.
What are they called?
The shortbread. You know, yeah, the ones that snap in half?
Yeah.
Scotch fingers.
But I made Jane present them to the group. I said, hey, guys, Jane's brought some.
He said, hey, I really want a biscuit, but can you offer them round like they're yours, that you've got them? And I went, oh, okay. Hey, and Mick goes, hey, look, Jane's got some biscuits there. Guys, come and have one.
Nah, well, I've got the bush tomatoes, said Mick.
He said it was too embarrassing for a man to offer a shortbread.
Stop it, Jane. Look, hey, what happens when you're camping? Stays camping? I was the only one who painted up campsite, though, I noticed that.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit disrespectful painting up as Gene Simmons.
From Kiss.
Honestly.
Look, I just thought I'd give it a go.
I don't think it's culturally as significant.
We are camping out under the stars in the middle of just this ocean field of land, and it was truly amazing. As we sat in the campfire, though, something was bugging me, and then I realised we need to vote someone off. You know what it is these days? We're sitting there going, well, someone has to go.
It was very reminiscent of Survivor.
Yeah, or Tribal Council.
I'm a half a celebrity. Get Mick, me out of here.
Mick, when you came out with the Scotch Finger Biscuits, I reckon you would have been voted off at that point.
How dare you?
My name is Sherilyn. I go to school in Kindermore. Welcome to my dad. You're listening to Kennedy the Mura.
G'day, it's Dangerous Dave here on my own because as we speak, Jane, Mick and Santo are on their way back from Alice Springs. We like to call this our Kennedy Molloy Red Dust wrap-up. You know, Adam Rosenbach's friend of the show, he's our royal correspondent for this week. He's been following the royals. He was in Dubbo today where I believe the heavens opened up, which is a great thing for that part of the world. It's what they've been looking for. Anyway, he's been giving us a full royal update on Instagram, which you can check out, at Kennedy Molloy, and I believe he's purchased a gift for Mick and Jane. So we'll look forward to speaking with Adam Rosenbach's tomorrow. Now, before the guys headed off on the track this morning to Alice Springs, we caught up with our favourite doctor, Dr. Chris Brown.
Oh, good afternoon.
Hey, Dr. Chris. Hey, we're on our way back, obviously, from Oondamoo. And once again, we've been exposed to what I call the camp dog.
Oh, yeah.
On my many excursions to the outback, I have been fascinated. I want to do a coffee table book. Mm. I don't think it's ever been done. I want to call it Camp Dogs of Australia.
Yeah.
Because it's some of the most amazing collection of dogs. Let's just say there aren't many purebreds floating around in outback Australia or the Northern Territory.
It's interesting you say that because I've actually done a lot of vet work throughout the communities with my dad, who's also a vet, and we go out and we do a bit of de-sexing and do a bit of treatments of different parasites and all sorts of issues. But in the process of doing that, you tour around the local communities, and I noticed this one phenomenon. All right. So it's the cluster effect. All right. So you'll go to a town and the dogs are just crossbreed, as you say, Mickey. Yes. They're just dogs.
Just
unidentifiable breed.
Yeah.
And then you go down one particular street and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you'll notice the legs get a little shorter, the ears get a little longer, the body gets a bit lower to the ground. And you're like, what is going on here? Like all of a sudden, like there's just this strange, like,
breed you've never seen before.
Yeah,
right.
And so you start asking around. Yeah. And the natural curious mind kicks in. And you're like, what has happened here? And everyone's laughing and you're like, it'll turn out that say a year before, a local plumber was in town and didn't want to leave a dog at home while he was doing some plumbing work in the town.
Yeah.
So brought along his basset hound. And it turns out the basset hound was working longer hours than he was. And worked his way.
No,
I was up at the Kimberley. There's a place called Beagle Bay, and let me tell you, there was a
reason why it's called Beagle Bay.
But there'd be like a German Shepherd style body on tiny little legs.
Yeah. Oh and my god!
What is going on here? Which is, and you get the idea that there are no rules up in these communities. And I was up there around near Cape Leveque at the time.
Yep.
And they had a deadliest dog competition, which Aboriginals call deadly, meaning great.
Yes.
And it's on the camp, so you bring your dogs along. And they have like a show dog at night when they all come out, and none of the it's not Crofts.
There's no basic breeding.
And I swear this is true. The year I was there, the winner got eaten by the runner-up. It was a big finish.
Well, that's very rare.
But wouldn't that be a good book, Doc? And you put it all around the world, because it makes me laugh and it makes me smile every time I go out to communities and see these dogs. But for people around the world who don't even know much about our beautiful working dogs, as a coffee table book, who would spin people out?
Well, the phenomenon of working dogs alone is so brilliant. Incredible. And also, that's what I love, though, the fact that all these communities have dogs around all the time. They're just part and parcel of being living in outback,
and they actually love them. And if you come into town as a vet, they're amazed with what you can do. But also, you can see they really do care for them. Yep.
What do they eat? So, I mean, I'm not being rude, but what do they feed on?
Yeah, so they will. Yeah, they can get fed dog food, your average dog.
Yeah.
They can, just go exploring. A lot of them are exploratory eaters.
Yeah.
Experimental eaters. I once saw I think it may have been part of the Basset Hound gang. He spent an hour hunting a dragonfly.
Yeah.
And then just hunted down a dragonfly. So, they just travel around.
What about cats? Are there cats in the...
Well, that's the other side of things.
No, we don't care for the wild cats.
Oh, no,
cats are... they are on the other side of the menu equation
a lot of the time.
We don't care for them. Can I ask, and this is the same thing, is that when I went to India, the only healthy-looking animal I saw in the whole of India were dogs. Mm. So the dogs in Mumbai...
Are they revered?
Well, not really, no. Yeah. But I tell you what, they're eking out a good living somehow, because even their sacred cows are not,
They're survivors. And that's what you love about dogs.
Yeah.
And they find a way, and this is what I guess the reason we have dogs is that they find a way to become part of your life. And whether it's for body warmth or whether it's for emotional support, whatever it is, they will actually infiltrate your life
That's what women do.
All right, Dr. Chris Brown, we spoke with him earlier before the guys headed off on the track on their way to Alice Springs. It's our Kennedy Malloy Red Dust wrap-up. More with the doctor right after this.
My name is Aaron from Yundabu.
You're listening to Kerry Neenore.
It's our Red Dust wrap-up. More on that in just a moment. You got Dangerous Dave. Hi. Just a quick reminder, tomorrow we have a rock god in the studio. The great Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden is going to swing by for a chat. He's doing a spoken word tour. And this is a guy who, he's lived the life. This guy's a 747 pilot. He's a film writer. He's a fencer. He's a beer brewer as well, and he's a ripping host. So I can't wait to meet Bruce Dickinson on the show tomorrow on Kennedy Malloy. Hey, we were talking to Dr. Chris Brown about camp dogs just a moment ago. We caught up with Chris just before the guys headed off this morning on their way back to Alice Springs and back home after their few days in Yundamu. This is the second part of our chat.
Did you just get back from Tahiti? What happened?
This is a delicate subject, because I know you...
Come on,
ever since we started talking, you've been looking me up and down and you've noticed what a lot of people have been noticing.
What? Yes.
So I've lost a little bit of weight.
Right. Oh, well, I want to kill you then. How'd you do it? What do I have to do?
You've been mentally undressing him for the last 20 minutes. I'm surprised you didn't.
Weight, Chris.
I went to Tahiti to do a bit of vet work and managed to... I've worked a long day. Yes. And as is often the tradition in Polynesian communities, they wanted to feed me.
Sure.
I said, would you try some of our local specialties? And I said, absolutely, absolutely. And they said, have you heard of Fafaru? Now, I hadn't heard of Fafaru, but I'll never forget Fafaru. Because Fafaru is created by taking tuna. You put it into a bucket of seawater.
So fresh tuna.
Fresh tuna into a bucket of just regular, room temperature seawater with some fish bones in the seawater. Oh, and then you just leave it. It's you'd love this recipe, Mickey. I'll pass it on because it's very simple.
Oh, my God.
You just leave it outside for a week.
Oi!
Is this like that sweet, like the...
The sastrami.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it ferments underwater
in
the seawater. And then they pull it out. But as a courtesy to the customer...
Have they told you how they prepare this?
Yeah, yeah. Right. They chill it for a few hours. Oh, that's cold. Nice. It's cold. It's crisp. And so all of a sudden, I realise that the bad karma of making celebrities eat terrible food.
It's a food challenge.
Comes back to you.
Oh, they saw you coming.
I was on the set of Tahitian I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, which isn't a ratings winner.
Know it.
And so I had to eat this fafaroo.
Oh, no.
How much did you have to eat?
Like a good, you know, maybe...
Like a tin size?
About the size of your fist.
And you can't insult your host.
No, exactly. There's some big units there. So, you know, these guys look at you and when they say eat, you eat.
Yes.
And so I ate it. And that night, the grumbles began. Oh. The stomach started to turn. I'm recently back into the country, but I can inform you that I brought along a few friends, a few souvenirs. I had to go and see a human doctor the other day because I have contracted some form of stomach parasite.
From the fafaroo.
The fafaroo. So in a world exclusive, I can confirm that the fafaroo will be on the menu in the jungle in 2019.
Bang, done.
It's research.
You're
it's,
kidding.
Yeah,
do you know what? We've got to hook you up with Andy Lee. You've got the best stories about
you. And you wear your heart on your sleeve when you talk about this. You're very honest about it. It's put me off my...
Fafaroo. I'm going to take you out to dinner tonight. I'm going to sneak you over a fafaroo.
Do you know what? How many kilos did you lose?
I lost about 4.
Oh, well,
see,
I'm up for it.
You could make a fortune here. The Dr. Chris Brown diet.
Fafaroo. Here we go.
Hey, thanks, Chris, as always. Yep. Don't forget Living Room, I'm guessing, Friday night.
Friday night, 7:30.
All right, can't wait.
Hello, my name is Xavier. Welcome to YouTube. You're listening to Kennedy in Malone. Hi, Ricky Jane.
Hello, everyone. Yeah, my name is Wilfred Nelson. I come from Mundamu and I'm working for the Ball Media Radio, and you are listening to Kennedy Moore.
Dan Sultan is one of Australia's most treasured musical voices.
The song decides what it's going to be. We were able to capture it and latch onto it and attach ourselves to it. It's our responsibility to honour it.
He's an ARIA Award winner with a few nominations this year, and it's not hard to see why with hits like this.
Well, the wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round, round and round. The wheels on the bus go round and round, all the way into town.
Jokes aside, Dan's music often has a connection to country.
And I'm
very lucky to be spending some time with him in Yundamu.
I feel very fortunate that I can be in a place where my people have been for so long.
Please welcome Dan Sultan.
Hey, Dan, how are you, mate?
I'm good. How are you?
Firstly, thank you for swinging by the studio.
Well, it's just I was here and then I saw you arrive and I thought, oh, well, if we can sort out an interview, that'd be good.
That would be great. And we're so happy to have you.
I've actually been out to Yundamu quite a bit when I was.
And
what's
that?
Your connection? Yeah. How did this all begin?
Yeah, my father did a lot of work out here and my mother. And, yeah, we were out here quite a bit when I was very young. And I came up a couple of times throughout my childhood, but it's been about 25 years. Well, I'm not Walpree, which is the people here and where we are. I'm Eastern Islander and Gurindji, which is a bit further north, and Eastern Islander is right near Alice Springs in that area. So I'm not actually from here, but I've been adopted into this place and these people when I was very little. So, you know, it's... the landscape is very beautiful and very beautiful people. And, you know, when you're welcomed anywhere, whether it's Yundamu or, you know, anywhere in the world by locals and, you know, it's very warm. It's very hot. But, you know, it's very warm, in the spirit sense.
It's very special.
It's interesting that every time you, or not every time, but often when you're told a story, it always ends in a song. You know, you know, yesterday we were out hearing some, you know, beautiful stories out there, and out came the guitar straight away. So the so clearly story and music.
And you twist his arm, Uncle Ned.
Uncle Ned.
Oh, I won't play. Oh, should I play?
Yeah. Oh, mate, we told just before. I don't think he was playing at the concert tonight. I said, mate, do you want to play songs tonight? Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. I got a new one for you.
And you were pretty much roadieing.
I roadied
for him. It was it was a new position for you.
It was, and I would say that position I lasted about 15 seconds
until he basically told you to to whack off?
Well, not so much. He asked me to back him on guitar, and I did. And then he let me know, you know, very politely.
Very.
Thank you, but no thanks. You
know. It was brilliant.
Now, Dan, I would just want to say you've had some really ripping news in the last week or so. You've been nominated for Best Male Artist ARIA. There's another ARIA award you've been also nominated for. Best Adult Contemporary Album.
That's right.
Congratulations.
Adult Contemporary. Yeah. Growing up. Don't tell anyone. It makes me feel like I've made a Kenny G sounding record or something like that.
I was going to say Richard Clayderman myself.
Maybe to some people that's what it sounds like. But, yeah, look, you know, I've had a pretty full-on year this year with a lot of shows, and then I took myself off the road, which we don't have to get right into. But I'll just say that I wasn't really looking after myself that well, and I had to take care of some mental health and physical health. Yep. And, you know, I'm feeling great now, sort of 5 months on from that, and just ready to get back into it. So something like this was a surprise.
That's fantastic.
And I feel like I've done a lot of healing, and this is the first real thing I've done back in media-wise, and also sort of playing. I've done a few little things, but this is... So it's funny how it all comes around. It's a good deal.
We're so happy to talk to you, and we're so happy you're well, and you look great, and we're honoured that you would come in and talk to us.
I'm looking great. I'll just say I've lost about 10 kilos. I've stopped drinking about 5 months ago. Mm-hmm. 10 kilos, which is great. However, the kids here have let me know.
Oh, really?
They've let me know how much weight I've put on since Brand New Day, which is very nice of them. Oh, you were in Brand New Day with Jessica. Yeah, I was. Yeah, you were skinny, weren't you? They're really, really cool and polite about it, though. They're not saying you're fat now or you're overweight. They're just saying you were skinny then. And it's just like, well, I was. And I was also 25, and I was also not eating that much for various reasons. And, you know, but you can't really get into that.
Thank you. We can't thank you enough. And thank you for coming up and making so many people so happy around this community.
Thanks for coming out to Yundamu as well. It's important that people know about these places, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place we live in, and many different cultures and many different ways of doing things. So it's to be celebrated, and good on you.
Well said.
That's awesome.
Dan Sultan, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, my name is Warwick Williams. You're listening to Kennedy Molloy live from Yundamu.
This is Kennedy Molloy. It is the Red Dust wrap-up. An incredible few days for Jane and Mick and the road crew that went to a place called Yundamu, which is a community northwest of Alice Springs. And the photos are unbelievable. Should check those out and you get a chance on all the socials that we have at Kennedy Molloy, Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. It's been brilliant to listen to. Coming up, we caught up with Limo ahead of the trek today after the guys hit the bus and to the airport to Alice Springs, so we'll be catching up with Limo very soon. But it was also a great special thrill to have our friend, our good mate, Santo Cellaro join us.
Please welcome Santo Cellaro.
Oh, thank you very much. You might have to give me my proper name out here, which is Santo Jagamara.
Jagamara Cellaro.
That's my skin name up
that's
here.
That's worlds colliding. It
doesn't roll off the tongue, does it? Jagamara Cellaro.
Well, your skin name, how do you get that?
You get given your skin name.
And
it's a very important thing, and you become a brother, or you become a son, you become an uncle, you become all sorts of relationship with the person that actually gives you the name.
Okay, so are you big brother, or are you a little brother, where are you in the chain of command?
I quickly know who my brothers are because they come up to you and they go, we're responsible for each other from now on.
How do they know that? How do they?
Well, you just get
the word spreads.
The word spreads. Someone says that's
word gets
that's
around pretty quickly.
You know,
on the community.
I'll tell you how quickly it gets around. We were talking to some guys that were playing Aussie rules football.
Yes.
And I must have mentioned that I love soccer. I'm telling you, within 5 seconds, there was soccer guys come up to me going, "Are you the soccer guy?" How did it get through that quickly, guys? Can I just say
just quickly before you go? Ask for a skin name? Do you have to be given a skin
name?
No,
you be patient and you get given.
Is that possible?
You can use it. What would you like as a skin name?
Honey Badger?
I don't think that...
Is that indigenous to the area?
Maybe if you're in New Guinea, maybe you can be given that.
We're in the shop today. I'm just getting a few things. Mick went white.
And what I just realised what had happened. Because Derek, the copper here, the local copper, who also has got a radio station here, he's got a radio show here as well. He came up to me and he said, I'm just looking for that Mick Molloy. I'd like to do an interview with him. So I've gone up to Mick and I've said, hey, Mick, the copper wants to do an interview with you.
Yeah. And you said, what do you mean?
I wanted to mean, and then tried
to find
the closest exit.
My name is Sherilyn. I go to school in Jindamon. Welcome to my dad. You're listening to Kennedy the Mura.
Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Molloy.
Good afternoon, Australia. Dangerous Dave here because Jane and Mick are in transit. There was a three-hour bus trip from Yuendumu to Alice Springs, and they're flying back home. And what's been an incredible mission, thanks to Red Dust, who are an incredible organisation. Their mission is working together to enrich lives, improve health, and strengthen the future of Indigenous youth and families. We've loved it, and we've been replaying some of the great bits. In fact, what we did earlier today is had a catch-up with Dr. Chris Brown before the guys left. We heard from Chris, but we also caught up with Limo. We'll be hearing from him in just a moment as well. Scott Sterling is the CEO of Red Dust. We'll chat with him from the Paw Radio studio in Yuendumu. We've got the Days in Review at Yuendumu as well coming up, in what we call this the Red Dust Wrap-Up with Kennedy Molloy. Limo is joining us in studio.
Hello, Limo.
Limo, what musical instrument do you play? That was a bit of cowbell that Mick's persisting in playing.
Yeah, there it is. You know what at the moment is my little fella, we gave him a ukulele.
Oh, yes.
Like a tiny guitar that you might see a large Hawaiian man playing if ever you travel to Hawaii.
Right.
They'll greet you at the airport with some men playing ukuleles.
I love that, by the way.
Ukuleles.
I love Hawaii. Do you know I'm a supermodel in Hawaii?
Oh, really?
It's the only country I'm not XL in. Yeah. Oh, seriously. I love those fat guy shirts.
You just squeeze right in.
Why would you buy a child a noisy toy? Do you know when my boys were having their first and second birthday? Days, who are my friends? This is how nasty they are.
Yeah.
Bought the noisiest, loudest.
That's so funny. That really makes me laugh. I love it.
Well, he's got this ukulele, and so he gives it to me and goes, "Daddy, play." So this is when I'm exposed as someone who's utterly tone deaf and completely
Vance Joy,
incompetent.
I'm guessing.
I am no Vance Joy, but can I say, you guys last week on the show spoke to the dude from Mumford & Sons.
Oh, yes. Mm.
Yes.
And can I say something?
Well,
we spoke
to him. Jane hit on him.
Yeah, right.
And that's pretty much how it worked out.
Very slightly.
Subtly.
Trust me when I say that
came. Slipped something in his drink. I'm not sure how subtle that is. Yes.
And I can report that did come through the speakers, Jane.
Did it? Oh, I thought I was being so mysterious.
No.
I love that interview because he said, when he was talking about the style of music they play, he said, "I used to drive around New York playing Old Crow Medicine Show as loudly as I could." Now, I've been a fan of Old Crow Medicine Show for years,
yes.
But it's been my dirty little secret because people go, "Oh, Limo, your country, your banjo, twang, twang music." My wife nearly divorced me when she caught me listening to Old Crow Medicine Show.
I cannot imagine Kel listening to any country music at all.
Should have thrown your banjo out when you moved in together.
Oh, good.
That wouldn't have made the cut. Have we got any there? Can we play some?
Old Crow Medicine Show. If you could get Wagon Wheel or maybe Tennessee Bound.
All right, we'll do that. We'll have that by the end of the interview.
Yep.
Chase a couple of those suckers up. Yeah, so it's the ukulele is the instrument.
Well,
but how's he go with it?
Hopeless. Absolutely hopeless.
He's not gifted.
He plays it like it's a drumstick.
Oh,
he just bangs it on things.
That's all right.
Give him a cowbell. I will let him have this.
Make sure he doesn't get a recorder. That's one tip.
Now, we've got
the Invictus Games, which you know, it's very exciting in the country at the moment because it's royal fever, pitch fever.
Yeah.
You've got a great involvement in this. Tell us about it.
I do indeed, Jane. I, along with Chris Barth, am hosting a TV show called Invictus Games tonight. It's on the ABC every night through the Invictus Games, 8 o'clock on ABC One.
Right.
Well done.
Good gig.
And you can get your daily Invictus update through our show. We're also on with Dylan Alcott and Damien Tomlinson.
What have they ever done?
We know both those boys. And they go pretty well.
They go very well indeed.
So we're super,
kind of inspiring.
We're super excited about it. And is, of course, Prince Harry's... It was his idea, the Invictus Games.
Sure was.
Because Prince Harry has, you know, served... in Afghanistan, in the military, top secret, but his cover was blown by a journalist from A Current Affair went and found him.
From the Australian...
That's a honey badger joke.
I was a bit slow, sorry. I'm a bit sunstroked, I think.
She's still thinking about Mumford.
Lemo, that's really... I'm sorry, that's funny.
It was wearing a crown on the front lines, it really...
So how's it opened? Did Prince Harry come out and cut a ribbon or light a flame?
There is an opening ceremony. It's on the steps of the Opera House.
That's on the 20th of October.
I don't approve of that. I would rather the Opera House be reserved for horse racing, advertising, far more worthy than something like these games.
I think they'll be replaying the Everest on the sales during the opening ceremony.
Right, so that's coming up on Saturday night.
So that is coming up on Saturday night, and it's going to be a massive week. And this is huge because what Prince Harry's whole thing was about providing an avenue where former servicemen and women can sort of enjoy again the camaraderie and teamwork that they once enjoyed when they were in our defence forces.
This is up your alley, Lemo. I know you've done some work with Soldier On, and I know you're into this, and if there's anything I can do to help, call Jane. Call Jane and she...
Well, I was going to say, what I understand the camaraderie thing as well, and of course we know about the mental health issues that a lot of the servicemen and women go through, but I imagine that being in something like this is inspiring and very healthy for them.
It is. Get on board. Absolutely. It's a huge. It's only one step, but it's a huge step on their path to recovery for these people. So a lot of them will be displaying physical injuries that you'll see out there, but many of the injuries you just don't see when you walk past someone in the street, and you may not see them as they're competing, but they are carrying mental scars that are really serious. And one other issue we're trying to highlight during the Invictus Games, here's a couple of stats for you. Are you ready for this?
Yep. Fire away.
6,000 veterans leave the Defence Force every year.
Yep.
About 500 of those are discharged against their will, but the rest are voluntary.
Yep.
Right? The unemployment rate against former members of the Australian Defence Force is 30%.
Why is that?
Are you saying there's discrimination?
30%. What I'm saying is they find it very difficult themselves to transition out of the Defence Force into the workforce, but also the workforce finds it difficult to get its head around employing a former member of the Australian Defence Force.
So that's got to change.
The workforce needs to man up. That's I personally can't think of anyone who I think is more qualified
to
rock up for a job interview than someone who's been involved in our Defence Force.
Organisational skills. They're used to being disciplined, working to a tight schedule. They can take out an opposition, someone from another company if they're annoying.
But it's so diverse, actually, what you can do. It's not, you've got to use your imagination. So.
All right, it's all good. Can you hang around for a second? We're trying to locate that stupid band you were talking about. Who was it?
Old Crow Medicine Show.
All right.
You got Dangerous Dave back here in the studio. Adam Rosenbarks is our official royal correspondent. He's been in Dubbo today where it's been raining, which was fantastic for that community. He's bought a gift for Mick and Jane on the back of the royal visit to Dubbo today. So we'll be checking in with Rosie tomorrow. But just got this Facebook message from Richard. He said, "Hey guys, so I've just driven past Sydney Airport where the private jets park up, the same place where Harry and Meghan's jet pulled up from Dubbo this afternoon. Across the road from this is a massive billboard of Mick and Jane dressed up as Harry and Meghan on their wedding day. Good chance they would have seen them. Jane and Mick will be thrilled." Thanks for the message there, Richard. Hey, Lemo. We've been chatting with Lemo. We caught up with him before the guys headed back to the studios today. And he, of course, is co-host of ABC and iView's coverage of the Invictus Games. The reason why Harry is here, of course. And their coverage starts Sunday, 7:40 on ABC and iView. Here's Lemo. Jane Kennedy, Mick Molloy. It's Lemo's song.
The Wagon Wheel song.
Is this the Wagon Wheel? What's the band?
Old Crow Medicine Show. This is my dirty little secret. And Jane's boyfriend, what's his name, Mumford, has given
Marcus
me the
confidence.
He's given me the confidence to come out.
He's given me the confidence
to come out.
Give
out of yourself.
See, this is the power that celebrities like Marcus Mumford have. I now feel comfortable to tell the world.
Can you turn up a bit?
Yeah, sure.
Open for Riley, I can see my needs a cowbell. Dirty little secret,
I bet you there's a whole bunch of people just swaying in their cars and at home right now.
I bet there is. Yeah. Have you got a dirty little secret, Jane?
Yeah, but it's not so dirty, but you know.
What is it?
It's a musical. It's Musical.ly. I have two Christopher Cross albums.
Wow.
Another Page and Christopher Cross. Christopher Cross.
Dave, got any dirty secrets?
I've always been a big Billy Joel fan, so I love all those old records. Just the Way You Are.
Don't have anything musical. Really?
Yeah. And you must have been. Mick can release a book of Dirty Little Secrets.
Gee, Mick, do you have any Dirty Little Secrets?
I cried during Out of Africa. Anyway, what else do you want to talk about?
Hey,
today,
can I just, before we get off Old Crow Medicine Show, they've got an album, a self-titled, an album called Remedy. Number one song on that album is, for you, Mickey, Brushy Mountain Conjugal Trailer.
They're a very wordy band, you see. They like long
Conjugal
titles.
Trailer? Well, I'm interested.
Because I know that when you spent a night in the clink a couple of years ago.
I love a conjugal.
You had how many conjugal visits in one night?
Well, six, but sadly there was no one else involved.
Please don't encourage him, Limo. Come on, I'm relying on you.
I'll tell you, it wasn't wrapped with my cellmate. But anyway, that's how it goes.
Seriously. Come on, order in the court.
Is there any sexual encounter more weighted in the male favour than the conjugal visit? All right, honey, come on in. No time for small talk. Whip them off. We've got 1 hour. Chop, chop. All right. And then, as you don't even have to call a cab, say bye. You only just got time to pull your pants up and say, by the way, next time, bring me some ciggies. Okay. How good's that?
You're literally on the clock.
Oh,
you started that, Limo. You're responsible.
That is a perfect way to spend a day.
And a shout out to anyone who's enjoying a conjugal visit right now.
We cover all bases on this show.
We do.
I'm sure they do, don't they?
Sure.
Let's not get bogged down with that.
It's a spring cleaning time in our house. It is spring at the moment.
What does that involve?
What does it involve? I'll tell you what it involves, Mickey.
So actually, you really do have to explain, because Mick will not know, but he'll pass it on to his mum.
The sort of broadly accepted definition of spring cleaning is that you just give your house a little once over.
Yeah, a cuddle.
Give your house a cuddle as you move into summer. In our house, what it means is my wife's continued attempt to eradicate any trace or clue that I live in that house.
Oh, yeah. I swear, I know, Jane,
at the moment, if we sent someone into our house and said, guess who lives here, there is not a single clue that I live in that house. They would walk through the length and breadth of the house and go, I don't know, crazy cat lady, maybe.
May I ask, Limo, have you picked up any auction items over the years, like football jumpers or anything like that? Because that is when I do the big clear out.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Maybe this goes in the office.
Okay. Well, Jane, I have essentially put police tape around my office. And it's my one little area that I own. This is why man caves.
Is it one big purge, or is it... Yeah. It is right, were you, man caves. Is it one big purge, or is it just this subtly happened throughout the
year? It's a huge purge that's happened over the last week. Her mum's down. So Gaynor's staying with us.
The big guns are in town.
No, the big guns are in town. So Gaynor's involved.
Always spells trouble for you guys.
Wow.
And Kel is so brutal, I'm throwing out clothes and I'm saying, well, I'll take these down to the salvo. She goes, they won't want those.
Oh, I'm with Kel. I mean, they don't want your crappy old 70s look.
Right, so you're telling me that there are homeless people looking at me going,
absolutely. Of course there are. Sorry, Limo, but
you know. That's pretty interesting. And do you get any write a reply or...
No, none whatsoever. It's just done.
It's just done.
It's just done.
No arguing.
Gets all my stubby holders thrown out. And I said, well, why did that happen? She said, they take up too much room and they're ugly. They're gone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hell.
She's got...
I'm going to see what the problem
That's
is.
That's what she'll say to you when she gets rid of you. Take up too much room and you're ugly.
What about this? She's got 10 casserole dishes that are all apparently required items. Here's a stat for you, Jane. Mm. I drink beer 5 nights a week. She hasn't cooked a casserole in 4 years.
I must say, I once got a crock pot and there was a bet in the house that it would never... No, a slow cooker.
Yeah.
And there was a bet in the house and they go, oh, that's never going to be used. Went in a cupboard. A year later, I went to use it and I opened it and Rob had written a note and dated it. And it was a year ago.
I love it. Right.
That's very good. You know what you should do? Put all the stuff that you don't want out the front and Jane will come and steal it. Because Jane has been known to do the curb crawl.
I do. I love a good curb crawl.
Hey, listen.
You know what? You're fine. Thanks, Limo.
Good on you, Limo. Yeah. Thanks for coming in. Anything to go?
Invictus Games.
Yes.
We'll look forward to watching you and Chris and the lovely Chris Barr.
Indeed. Invictus Games every night during the Invictus Games on the ABC. When Old Crow Medicine Show tour again, they were here 12 months ago. When they come back, I'll happily take a group of Triple M listeners along to see Old Crow Medicine Show.
Sounds great.
Do you know what that sounds like?
Who's that?
Highly Strung. It's like a country version of Highly Strung.
It's not far off.
Wow. There goes Mickey.
Mickey will be touring with him. He'll be on stage. That's Limo. And this is Kennedy Malloy. Mama rock me. Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy back in studio tomorrow. They're in transit as we speak. This is our Kennedy Molloy Red Dust wrap-up. And Red Dust is an amazing organisation. It's the reason why Jane and Mick and Santo were in Central Australia. Generations of Indigenous Australians in remote communities, according to Red Dust, have lived a life impacted by poor health. And this affects the whole community and especially young people. So Red Dust believes that good health is the key to a bright future, and that health outcomes can only be made possible through a two-way exchange with communities. So they've done a fantastic job. Scott Sterling is the CEO of Red Dust. He'll be joining us in just a moment from Yuendumu. But let's talk about Bush Mechanics right now.
Well, here we are downtown at Yuendumu, and in a place that's steeped in history and culture. We've found one of the greatest artefacts in known time. It's the original EH, Santo.
Yes.
It's not your old car, is it, Mick? Because you literally had one like this.
I think it's still parked at the ABC from the Late Show.
Yeah, I left it there. I put it out in it for the Trading Post. Talk us through this. Well, would this be available?
You said steeped in tradition. I just wonder whether this is steeped in rust at the moment. It's the old car that was used for a wonderful show called The Bush Mechanics, which was
one of my favourite documentaries
produced by Wobbry Media in the, I think it would have been in the 90s, would it have been, Mick? And it followed the...
It was about the ingenuity and resourcefulness of the locals up here who could get anything back on the road. But I think my favourite was the car that could only be driven in reverse. So they actually turned the seats around and the driver had to drive while there were two blokes sitting at the back saying left, right, left, right.
Now, I remember the one where they had to take a whole lot of equipment to a concert that they were playing at, and their trailer broke down, so they didn't know how to tow the equipment. So what they did is they sheared the roof off the top of the station wagon and then used it as a sled. So they actually dragged it.
Well, to many people, it actually, if this was sold in like a gallery in Double Bay, it could be called an art installation.
This
and
could
go for
be
thousands of dollars.
In Venice at
yeah,
the moment,
correct,
at the
yeah.
Art. Biennale.
It's fantastic look.
I'm a bit worried though, because out of everything, there's no seat belts.
No,
I mean,
very
I think safety is an issue.
Very,
that
very
needs
dangerous.
To be addressed. You could drive this Fred Flintstone style. Look, there's nothing on
holes
the floor.
Holes in the floor and just then. And it's got sort of none on the floor right now. There's a bit of a steering wheel sticking out. KFC bucket seats.
And not sure where the baby car seats would be strapped in there either.
No, but anyway, I can't tell you how excited I am, and we'll post some pictures of us on the web. Do you want to do the Toyota I Want a Feeling jump just out the front? Let's do that.
My name is Aaron from Yuendumu.
You're listening to Karini Nurek.
Hello.
My name is Xavier. Welcome to Yuendumu. You're listening to Kennedy and Molloy.
Hi, Mickey Jane.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. It's our Red Dust wrap-up show. The guys back in studio tomorrow. They've travelled, I think it's about a three-hour bus trek, mainly Red Dust, on their way to Alice Springs to fly it to come back home. But earlier today, we caught up with Jane and Mick back at the Poor FM radio studio and had a chat to the CEO of Red Dust as well. Take a listen.
Hi, guys. We are done and dusted. Ooh. That is it. Waiter check, please. It's time to finish up with all the excitement and the fun we've had so far in Yuendumu.
We've been here. We've been guests of Red Dust, even though I've been, with the team for a long time. Red Dust is in a remarkable organisation. It really is. It was started off. It'd be remiss if we didn't start off with the name John Van Groningen.
What a man.
Chupangari.
Unbelievable.
Who unfortunately passed a few years ago.
Yep.
An inspirational man who started off this organisation. And he started it off on relationships. That's what it was all about.
Yep.
He was great mates with all the guys around here.
He was, and he'd be very proud.
Ned Hargraves was his best mate, really. So the organisation is still going. Scott Sterling is now the CEO.
Yep.
We've got Scott in with us, and Scott, you'd be pretty exhausted right now.
Mate, it's been a big few days. Mm. I had the board up here last week, mm-hmm. and we had a bit of fun with them for a couple of days, yep. and then we shot back into town to pick up all of you guys and come back out again.
And it's just been a non-stop
been huge.
Party since. It's been fantastic. We want to thank you for bringing us up here. And we were talking, what is it that you would like? We've got a big audience out there.
And people are saying they're loving what they're hearing. And I think the next question is, well, what do we do? How can we help? How can we get out there? How can we spread the awareness? What can we do?
Well, look, you're right. It's been an amazing opportunity to showcase to Australia what's happening out here in the middle of Australia. I've had a bit of a chat to people today. I've wanted them to understand just how big the audience is that are listening to this show. And when I say the number is in the millions of listeners around the country, there are eyes lighting up. So it is a massive opportunity for Yindamu. When it comes to, you know, what do we want? Well, we're all about partnering with remote communities. We're about partnering with the elders. It's not just us that gets the job done. It's the partnership, it's the relationship, as John Van Groningen set up all those years ago. And we want to do that in more communities. Mm. We're currently partnering with 6 or 7 schools across the Northern Territory. We know there's 36 or 37 that could do with the support. Mm-hmm. And we actually get schools and communities coming to us regularly, saying, when can you come to us? And I say, well, look, it's all about resources.
So you're a non-profit, there's no government assistance?
At the moment, we have had government funding previously. Yeah. Right now, we're a completely non-government funded organisation. Mick, we rely completely on the support of corporate Australia and of philanthropically minded people. And that's something that's quite unique, I think, when it comes to not-for-profits. And what we've been able to establish is this partnership model, which means that it's not just Red Dust partnering with communities, it's actually Corporate Australia partnering with communities. And that's a really powerful thing.
You've said when Corporate Australia do get involved, a lot of the people who work in corporate jobs have the opportunity to come and experience what we've done, and it has been life-changing for them.
Seriously, get out here.
Yeah, and we've had a couple up with us this week, and their experience has been really similar to those of all the other corporate volunteers that we have. I think it is a pretty unique opportunity. We partner with corporate to, in effect, provide us with funding to do this work. But when we partner with those corporates, we set a real challenge for them. You know, we say, we like your money. We love your money. Without your money, we can't do what we do.
Yeah. Yep.
But it's more than that. Because we use your money to do what we do, but we need your heart and we need your soul, and we create a spot to walk alongside community with us. There are 3 spots. There's community, there's Red Dust, and then there's our corporate partners. And we live that by bringing them with us on the trips.
Well said. Mm. Step up to the plate, Corporate Australia. You won't be disappointed, and you'll be doing something of great value.
You'll just be learning about the place you live in. I think you'll
get more than you give. I guarantee you.
Yeah, I first got involved because I was ashamed, not at anything else, but my own ignorance at my own country. And what? I didn't know that this was going on. I didn't know that places looked like this. I didn't know that the country was that big, you know. Yeah. And it's also humbling to be right in the middle of this big continent. It's kind of scary.
Scott, thank you so much for giving us access to everyone as well, which has been really important.
Yeah, no, it's been a pleasure. And can I say thanks to you guys? It's not a small feat for a commercial station to step up and say, we're going to go to a place like Yindamu in the middle of this country, a long drive away, and broadcast to the nation. I know that the people of Yindamu that I've spoken to have really appreciated you guys coming up.
Oh, it's
and
a pleasure.
I think it's, you know, you guys need a big pat on the back too.
And Triple M, our overlords at Triple M are to be congratulated for allowing us to do it. And I think they've been really rapt to be part of it as well. So
thank you.
Thank you, mate.
Hi, my name is Warwick Williams. You're listening to Kennedy Molloy live from Yindamu.
Hey, by the way, some of the pictures we've seen from Yindamu and Central Australia are quite breathtaking. What a beautiful country we live in. See those pictures on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook at Kennedy Molloy. Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, it's our Red Dust wrap-up.
Guys, there's been many highlights, but I can't pick one out. Do you have one? Is there anything that springs to mind? Camping for me would go close.
Yeah, I think when I played the piano, when I did Shut Up Your Face at the campsite piano accordion, that was moving.
I could feel the ancestors. Yeah, not happy. Yeah, yeah. Not happy.
Sleeping Jan. Under the Stars, yes, of course, was a highlight.
We saw some special sights. We were privileged. We had the company of some serious people around the community. There's been so much to enjoy. Why don't we bang together a few moments and let you enjoy along with us. If you want to lift the skirts on what life is like in the interior of this country, get your sorry ass to Yindamu.
Well, what a long way to come for just a couple of days. But boy, was it worth it.
And we were treated to one of the great welcomes, which involved a lot of kids, a lot of dogs at the entrance to Yindamu, and they'd spelled out beautifully on both sides of the road, welcome. Mm-hmm. And they'd obviously been working at an art shop all day.
Say what they'd done it on. They painted
what was
it.
Brilliant was when you get around the back, you realise they're all car bonnets. Dogs, kids and car bonnets, welcome to Yuendumu. Get on board.
They must know that I have a lot of children because at one stage they're like, you know, kids hanging off my arms and giving me hugs, and I've got to say it's one of the most
beautiful
things.
I thought you were stealing them. I just saw really? Jane run off with eight children. They're all attached to her
somehow.
Oh,
they're just beautiful.
They are the most beautiful children.
We were joined in the desert by a dear friend of the show who's been coming on these red dust adventures for many years now.
Please welcome Santo Chilaro.
Oh, thank you very much, Santo. You might have to give me my proper name out here,
which is
Jagamara.
Jagamara Chilaro.
That's my skin name up
that's
here.
That's worlds colliding.
It doesn't roll off the tongue, does it? Jagamara Chilaro.
Can I ask for a skin name? Do you have to be given a skin name?
No, you be patient and you get given. You can use it. What would you like as a skin name?
Honey Badger?
Word quickly spread throughout Yuendumu that Mick Molloy was in town.
We're in the shop today. I'm just getting a few things.
Mick went white, and what I just realised what had happened.
Yeah.
Because Derek, the copper here, the local copper, who also has got a radio station here, he's got a radio show here as well. He came up to me and he said, "I'm just looking for that Mick Molloy. I'd like to do an interview with him." So I've gone up to Mick and I've said, "Hey, Mick, the copper wants to do an interview with you."
Yeah. And you said, "What do you mean?"
And then tried.
He said, "An interview."
Exit.
We met so many wonderful people in the community, and all of them had a story to tell.
I met a guy who I thought was just a musician, or I don't know, a guy that I used to know, as he used to play the guitar or something.
Yeah.
But he had just got back from Russia, where he had been employed by Interpol to be a tracker.
Yep, we learnt new things with every person we met.
The kids up here can basically start and manage a fire by the age of two.
Oh, that's impressive.
That is impressive. Now, my kids could start them at two. Yeah.
And senior community members like Ned Hargraves shed light on why fracking is set to damage their connection to the land.
For us, destroying our world, our land, it is disrespected. And I think they're fracking and go frack somewhere else.
We also travelled with some very talented people, such as Dan Sultan, who performed live for us.
And I'm waiting for the kingdom.
The kids here, they've let me know how much weight I've put on since Brand New Day, which is very nice of them. You were skinny, weren't you? I was, and I was also 25.
And deadly comedian Shirley Hood was running some challenging comedy workshops for the kids.
It's Walpuri up here, and so they speak a totally different language. English is like sometimes their third or fourth language, which is unreal. So doing comedy with Walpuri and then figuring out like how to mix that and like getting interpreters, we've had to work it.
So if I'm going to heckle you, should I heckle you in Walpuri?
You are, brother.
The guys got an offer they couldn't refuse.
A special experience tonight. We might be doing some camping somewhere. And we might
you mean all night, overnight?
Overnight, Jane.
That's what it involves, Jane.
Am I going?
Well, if you would like to go, you can come.
Do we sleep under the stars?
We've got the swags ready to go.
And I'll tell some stories. Do you reckon mine will be better than the locals?
Yeah. And joining Mick, Jane, Santo and local man Raymond under the stars were a few Brumbies.
Obviously, last night we heard the horses sing out.
Yeah.
And they come into communities looking for water. Is that what they do?
Yeah, they come in and take over and looking for those taps. And
you were telling us last night that they come in, if there's no water around, they'll kick down a tap in the community.
Just to get the water away.
So is it like standover tactics?
Standover horses, aren't they?
They kick down your tap and they go, "We'll be back Tuesday. Have some water."
If you know what's good for you. Hang on, we've left this human head in your bed.
But after a few days of being exposed to amazing culture, beautiful people and epic landscapes, Mick found one downside to the trip.
So rich and so cultural in so many ways, and then has this one deficit that I'm not sure how I can get over. Okay, kids, tell me, what team do you barrack for?
Collingwood.
Tigers.
Richmond.
Collingwood.
Magpies.
Collingwood.
Magpies.
Go Magpies.
Magpies.
Thanks, Yuendumu. I'm sure we'll be back.
Hello, everyone. Yeah, my name is Wilfred Nelson. I come from Yuendumu, and I'm working for the Ball Media Radio, and you are listening to Kennedy Moy.
Jane Kennedy, Mick Molloy back in studio tomorrow. It's our Red Dust wrap-up show, all thanks to Barbecues Galore. Some things are better low and slow.
Mickey, what's low and slow? Don't say me. I'll kill you. Think sticky pork ribs.
Hello.
Succulent brisket.
Oh, this is dirty talk.
Mouth-watering pulled lamb.
Just got a stiffy.
Awesome, tasty kangaroo.
Hello.
Barbecues Galore is the only place to get you started on a big smoker. Yeah. You've got to go and get your Traeger pellet grill because you put your smoker in there and you just... Oh.
Mate, as soon as I get back to town,
yeah, you're
I'm going to get
it.
A car and I'm going to go from the airport
yeah.
to Barbecues Galore and I'm just going to curb crawl it. Ooh. Just... Oh. I'm a wolf whistle.
Would you
the barbecues from out the front of Barbecues Galore. I'm going to go, hey, baby.
Do you want me to pick up a side of lamb on the way?
Oh. Oh, jeez. We're swing by the butchers.
Yeah,
don't worry. What if we're out of line to get some meat and just go onto the floor of Barbecues Galore and fire it up?
And do it there.
And bang, and just start. See how much bang. We can eat before they
absolutely
get onto it.
Absolutely done. You'd be a damn fool if you went anywhere else except Barbecues Galore.
Come on.
Thanks to Barbecues Galore. Yep, some things are better low and slow. Mick and Jane, we will see you in studio tomorrow for a big Thursday. Kennedy Molloy, if you don't mind, the horns are up because Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden in studio tomorrow and more. We'll see you then.
Now that your Kennedy Molloy catch-up is done, time to hit up the low and slow zone at barbecuesgalore.com.au for videos, tips and recipes to make your ribs, brisket or lamb delicious.